Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
We're going to be talking about how to create healthy boundaries and learn the art of saying no. And we wanted to talk about this because this is a topic that comes up so much with our clients, on our courses and our programs, and actually with our friends. And it's a topic that particularly seems to affect women. So we're going to be looking at what it's like to have unhealthy boundaries, what's the impact of that, and what it's like to have healthy boundaries. And we're going to be looking at what you can do to help strengthen your boundaries starting straight away. So let's start off with looking at, how do you know if you have healthy boundaries or not? What's it like when you don't? When you haven't got healthy boundaries, what I find is you tend to have a sense of overwhelm. You don't have a sense of control over your time, over your day. If someone suddenly swoops in, if a friend calls you and is in need, you immediately drop things and go to them. So you don't know, you might set your day up, you might have scheduled things in, but you never know for sure if you're actually going to be able to stick to the things that you schedule. Mm. And so I think with it comes, and even if as I'm talking about it, it comes a sort of sense of anxiety.
Yeah.
That you don't know what's going to just suddenly swoop in and sort of just throw your day into chaos, basically.
Yeah.
I would say I've definitely had to strengthen my boundaries over the years, in relationships, in friendships, and both at work, but also now as a coach with clients. And it makes a huge difference. I think with it comes, when you start to feel you've got healthier boundaries, I think I have a lot more confidence. And maybe the two of those things go hand in hand with a growth.
Yeah.
When you cultivate more confidence within yourself, when you have a stronger anchor within yourself, I think you naturally start to create healthier boundaries. And so probably on my journey of self-love, if I look at it, healthy boundaries were a kind of side effect. They also grew at the same time. When you see clients, Vicky, who seem to be struggling with boundaries, what kind of symptoms do you see them suffering with?
Well, resentment is a telltale sign that you're not honouring your needs, you're not expressing your needs and being in your power. And so this happens in dating as well as in relationships. So when you're, for one particular client who was dating, we worked on boundaries with her in how she could protect her energy when she was dating, because she found that she was dating quite a lot in the week and then was feeling really exhausted on the weekends and weekends of when she really wanted to spend time with her friends and family, and she was just feeling burnt out with work as well. So we set some healthy boundaries around dating, limiting dating to once a week in the week and not on the weekend, so she could free up her time.
Great.
For the people that she loved and wanted to spend time with, her friends and family. And she found a few weeks of doing that, she had more energy.
Yeah.
She felt more in her power, she felt more in control, and she just felt more at ease. And so yeah, resentment is really useful to learn about boundaries, actually. Brené Brown keeps a resentment journal, and she was saying that the times where she's feeling really overwhelmed and stressed and tired, when she felt the most resentful, and those were the times that she felt she wasn't setting those boundaries with people. And so it's really useful to lean into that resentment and understand what it is that is making you feel so overwhelmed and making you feel so stressed, and if there is a way for you to take a step back and look at ways that you can start expressing your boundaries. And it might be expressing it to friends and saying you can't go for dinner or go to cinema or go and do those things that they want to do at the drop of a hat. You're actually wanting to protect your space, protecting your time as well. I think by expressing those boundaries, you're really honouring your needs and respecting your time, which invites others to do the same.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly it. I think having healthy boundaries is about listening into your own needs, honouring your needs, making sure you are having your needs fulfilled, and putting your needs as a top priority. And I think what the reason why women in particular suffer from not having clear and healthy boundaries is because it's so tied up with,
you know, the idea that a good woman, yeah. a loving woman, a kind woman, she's always there to help and to give and look after other people's needs. You know,
yes.
We're still living so strongly
yeah.
in modern society from this narrative. And I think that this is yet another symptom of that. And so it is about, it's not about suddenly becoming selfish. It's about making your needs a top priority, not the most important priority. But therefore knowing that and recognizing that you do have a limit to your time and energy that you can give.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you are going to have to say no.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to help a friend out. You won't be able to give them everything they need because you simply don't have it to give. And so trying to give it when you don't have it to give, that is what then leads to resentment. Because
yeah.
you're then really trying to pour from an empty cup.
Yeah.
And I think it's great. The resentment thing is a sort of signpost
yeah.
that you are not listening to your own needs
yeah.
and you're putting other people's needs constantly probably before your own and that's not a good balance, and it's not good for anyone.
Yeah.
And I think it's really useful to look at the areas of relationship, romantic relationship, friendships, work, and also as a parent. You're making sure you're having your needs met. You're actually therefore creating a space that everyone else can also go, oh, well, hang on. Okay, so, well, this is what I need.
Yeah.
And I think it is important when you do start to have those conversations that you're going, look, I need this. What do you need? So then it becomes about everyone having their needs met.
And we're not comfortable setting boundaries. It can feel, and it is uncomfortable. There's no sugarcoating it. There's no saying, oh, you know, just say no to things. It's easy.
Yeah,
it isn't easy to say no to friends, especially, you know, well-intentioned friends that, and especially when, you know, they want to spend time with you and you want to spend time with them, but it is about having that perspective and protecting your own needs, as you say, as important as everybody else's. Because if you're saying yes to everything, and you know, you might really enjoy spending time with people and doing things for other people, you might find validation from doing those things for other people, and that feels really good, you know, being the one that someone goes to for help and for advice and support. But, you know, there's a fine line between, you know, finding that validation, feeling good from that, in that, versus just stretching yourself too thin and feeling then resentful, not really enjoying the things that you actually would usually enjoy.
Yeah.
And a friend said to me once when I was in a bout of overwhelm, when I'd spoken to her on my lunch break ages ago, and I worked in marketing, really, really overwhelmed with work, and I was... I think I was close to tears or maybe in tears. And she was saying, look, if you did half as much, you'd enjoy it twice as much.
Very wise lady.
And it's always stuck with me. We used it as a love quote the other day, actually. Just as a reminder to, yes, you are going to enjoy the things, you know, that, like all these invitations that might come through and all these offers of, you know, being there for friends, but just be mindful that you're not stretching yourself too thin, and that, you know, you're giving yourself that balance and having a good balance of me time as well as time with other people as well.
I used to really struggle with the way it affected me was feeling overwhelmed by having to keep up with all my friendships. And it was wonderful. I had lots of friends, but I had this constant sense of pressure that I needed to see them a certain amount each month. And so actually it meant that I was busy almost every night of the week trying to catch up with friends. And I think, you know, when you kind of, it's really important to start digging in and seeing, look, where is this coming from? Or at work, if you're consistently staying late at night, either it's because you've got a boss who is demanding, you need to look at, well, do you really want to work with someone that's like that? If they're not, if you're saying to them, look, I really need to leave by 6, and they're like, sorry, you got to stay till 10.
Yeah.
But also, perhaps you're just staying on because this sense, this need to be needed, or this, you know, you get your validation from like being, you know, or that, what do you call it, Vicky, the sort of badge of honour of, you know, being really busy and being exhausted, and that makes you suddenly feel that you know, you're worth something. And I think it's really important that we dig into that stuff, and also dig into the fear as well that lies behind not wanting to say no to people. And I think that one comes from that deep-rooted fear that I think that we all have in ourselves, that the fear of being rejected by the tribe. So, you know, if we say no, what could happen? They might not like us. They might not want to be our friend anymore. But once upon a time, being rejected by the tribe literally led to death. So if you were rejected by the tribe when we were all cavemen living out in the, you know, the snow. If you're rejected by the tribe, you're not helped being looked after, you would die. And so I genuinely do think that the reason we get so anxious about this, because there's something in us that really screams danger, and the desire and the need to be liked and the need to be accepted by everyone is something that I think is really useful and important for us all to look at. And I think particularly women do suffer from this, the desire to be liked. And I think it's those things that we really have to get into that conversation with ourselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, journal around that stuff, have conversations with our friends around that stuff to actually go, hang on a minute, I am actually putting other people's needs before my own. And I'm taking responsibility for other people's needs. I'm taking responsibility to make them happy. This is not my role. Step back. Step out of their space. Yeah. It's not, you're not actually helping people by wanting to be there. To sort of, you know, be helping them so much.
And I think that those conversations are happening, particularly with women, through that book, which I think was released last year, The Life-Changing Magic of Not Giving a Fuck. And people are starting to realise, oh, I can not give a shit, not give a fuck. There are ways of saying, you know, expressing or saying no with love. Saying, and I've said this before, actually. I remember at work, I was being asked to do some kind of activity, you know, like office-based things, you know, especially around Christmas time. And do I want to be
enforced
involved?
Enforced fun. I seem to remember.
It was a form of forced fun. And I just, like, looked at it and thought, you know what, I really don't have any kind of time or inclination to do this. So I just said, no, with love. and left it at that. I didn't apologise. I wasn't defensive about it. I was just like, I don't want to get involved in that particular piece of forced fun.
Yeah.
So I said no.
And sometimes they will be things that we do want to do and that we would like to do, and it's for a dear friend and we would love to help them out, but we actually do not have the time or the energy to give. And it's that, I think it's at that point that it becomes really uncomfortable because we want to be able to give it. And it's about recognising you have limited energy. You are not a superhero. You can't pull that energy out of nowhere. If you haven't got it, if you haven't had the time to rest and recover, then you will not have that energy. And I think it's having those conversations is sort of where it begins.
Yeah.
So let's have a look at what are the different things that people can do to start creating healthy boundaries. So I think the first thing to do is to explore where you might be coming from a place of fear. And what, just, and Vicky, you're good with this, aren't you, with journaling your way to answers. But it's kind of looking at what is the fear behind you not wanting to say no to people. And again, I think we'll do, you know, when you dig into that stuff, you'll find things like, they might not like me, or they might think I'm mean, or they might think I'm not caring enough, or they might think I don't love them. And I think that if that's the sort of thing that comes out, that's where you then go and have a really honest conversation and say, I really want to help. I can't tell you how much I want to help you right now, but I also know that I just, at the moment, I have not got the energy to give. And I have to look after myself. I've really been suffering from exhaustion. And you know how much I love you and how much I'd love to help you. But right now, I can't help you. And if you need, and then this is the point where you would say, sew on your hands, isn't it? Because immediately, even me doing that, I'm like, I'm going to try and think of a way where I can help you. Maybe next weekend I can, you know. And so it's like, you just say, I can't help you.
Yeah.
And then sit on your hands.
And then you have to just, and my coach Gail would say to me, hold the stare. And I say to clients, sit on your hands.
I think that's genius.
Because in that space, it's a brave act to really say what you just said to a friend that you love, to really be saying, I don't have the capacity to give. When actually your ego fear voice is going, oh, but you can, just push yourself, you can.
Yes.
Like, just, you know, like, what's another night of doing things when you haven't had a night in for 7 days? You know, what's another night won't hurt, la, la, la. And it's it's a brave act to really say what you just said, but also the really uncomfortable bit is that silence after you've said it, and the friend looks at you, and you have to hold the stare and sit on your hands because there's a tendency to go, But next weekend we'll spend the whole weekend together and we'll do this and this, and you want to make them feel better because you can't give them what they need right now. Even, you cannot do that either.
Even in my pretend conversation there, yeah. I wanted to do it, which shows what an automatic response that is. And I was like, oh no. Remember what Vicky says, sit on your hands. And that's kind of what you need. You need to practice it, isn't it?
You know what it reminds me of in Friends, where Chandler is going on a date with Rachel's friend at work, and it's one of the early Friends episodes. And every time they go on a date, he doesn't want to go out with her again, but he hates the uncomfortable yes! silence at the end of the day. And she lingers for like a few seconds. And he's like, that was great. We should do it again sometime. No intention of seeing her again.
That's exactly it. Yeah, that's a great one. And a good way to bring friends into the podcast.
Yeah.
Cheryl Richardson, in her book, The Art of Extreme Self-Care, says that the chapter that resonates with people the most is the one called I Will Disappoint You. And it's exactly about this. It's about really recognising your own needs and then being able to voice them. And, it's not about that, actually. And it's about having these conversations with people. Mm. And when they are saying, can you do this? Can you do that? They're asking something of them. And they have to have those uncomfortable conversations and sometimes say no. And so you're not always going to disappoint people. Most of the time, people are going to be totally understanding and say, oh, that's fine, I totally get it.
Yeah.
But occasionally, you will disappoint people, particularly if you've been someone who everyone is used to, or some people in your life are used to you always saying yes, no matter what. For you to suddenly turn around, and it is like with a child, it's definitely, I have this with Sammy, is if, you know, he's been getting away with doing certain behaviours, and suddenly I go, no, it's like, what? You know, he's shocked by it. And I think we can sometimes respond the same as adults. So if someone suddenly changes the rules and changes the way that they usually respond to you respond to you with something, you're like, oh, what do you mean no?
Yeah.
You are going to sometimes disappoint people. And so really the art of self-care and self-love is about having these conversations and sticking up for yourself and honouring your needs and respecting your needs, even if some people are not going to like it, even if some people are going to feel disappointed or feel hurt. And at the end of the day, the best thing you can do is take charge of yourself. You can speak your own truth and speak up for your own needs, but you can't control how someone else is going to respond. That is up to each of us. You can only control the way you're going to respond. And so you can do your best and, you know, make it clear how much you care about them, how much you love them, but it's a no.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, and that is where it gets really uncomfortable, and that's where the sort of fear kicks in, and that's why it does require, particularly at the start, courage. But I think with practice you realise actually it's very rare that people actually are disappointed or actually are hurt when you say no, that people really are understanding, and that it opens up the space for other people to be able to look after their own needs and voice their own needs.
Yeah.
And so actually you're really giving an even greater gift to your friends when you're doing that.
And that's why setting boundaries is a brave act of self-love. It's incredibly brave to do that. And the more you do it, it's a practice, isn't it? The more you do it, the more you normalise the discomfort. And it gets a little bit easier. It's never going to be totally easy because it feels, you know, all these emotions that we're talking about, you know, not wanting to disappoint people, wanting to fit into the tribe. These are all very natural emotions, very human emotions that we all feel. So it's never going to be totally easy. But the more you do it, the more you practice it, the more you will normalize that discomfort and the easier it will become.
Mm. So a really important step in all of this is getting clear on what your needs are. So then you can go and you can communicate with people and let them know what you need. Mm. And if things need to change, make your request, whether that's with your boss, whether that's with your partner, whether that's with your friends. So first of all, it is about getting clear on what it is you need and also what the impact has been on you not having that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you go into a conversation. I was reading the other day, and unfortunately I forget who said it. But she said it in a really lovely way, is when you go into these conversations stating your needs, you do it with confidence and humility. And that when you go in, then you say, look, I need this, so I need to be able to leave work at this time, or, you know, I need this space, or I need to have Tuesday nights on my own, or I need to have Tuesday nights going out with my friends, whatever it is that you're wanting to create this kind of space, create this boundary, create this agreement, that you also at the same time go and say, and what do you need? So that you make it really clear that this is needs to be, it's about having a win-win situation so that everyone is getting their needs fulfilled. It's not just about you having your needs fulfilled and who cares, the rest of you can sort yourselves out. I'm just looking after number one. You know, it is about everyone having, listening to their own needs and having their needs fulfilled, and you are leading by example.
It's like it's exploring what the right growing conditions are for you to thrive. And by doing that, you do invite other people to do the same. It's setting a great example. And it can facilitate such interesting conversations with the people that you love about you know, what you all need to really thrive in life.
And then then sometimes you're being the pioneer in your family, in your relationship, at work. And you know, you can think of it in that way as well. It's like, I'm doing this for all of us. So then there's, as well as, you know, having these important conversations, getting clear on your own needs, getting clear on, you know, the core issues underneath all of the fears that might be going on. In a really practical way, it's also about setting your life up to create clear boundaries. And so one of the things we do a lot with people, particularly in our life design course and programs, is talk about using your calendar as your canvas and using your calendar to really include in your life the things, like you say, Vicky, that make you thrive. And so, for example, if one of those things, which is often a lot of the time for our clients, the people in our courses, is to have more time for themselves to rest and recharge, recovery periods. We, most of us, and I'm sure you listening, have a life that is packed full with work and, you know, hopefully fun with friends and family commitments and all sorts of things. It's really important that we also have downtime, time to rest and recharge. What's that stat that you love, Vicky, of how much women, how much downtime women have on average?
36 minutes is apparently some research that came out, I think last year, that we are getting 36 minutes on average downtime a day. And for mums, it's 17 minutes.
So we need more than that to have a happy and fulfilled life. And so a lot of the time it is about putting into your calendar, having at least one evening a week where you are just chilling out. You're not doing household chores. You're not seeing friends. You're not staying late at work. You are going home and you're having a good chunk of time where you are just relaxing and doing things that help you to recover and recharge your batteries. Now, what we always say to people is put that in your calendar, make it a date with yourself and make it a date you really honour. And if someone comes along and says, oh my God, I haven't seen you for ages, please tell me you're free to go out tomorrow night. And that's the night you've booked to have as your night of rest and recharge. You don't just go immediately go, oh yeah, sure. And just discard that night that you put aside for yourself. You look after it, you honour it and you say no. And so it's really important that you use these tools like this, using your calendar to book in time for the things that are important to you, and then of course honoring that, but other things as well for people who, and everyone's different, you know, some people need loads of time, need loads of space, really get bothered by having their personal space or their day invaded the way they, some people will see it, by calls. Now I don't have that so much, but on days where I just really need to just be on my own. Perhaps it's, the, you know, I'm doing writing, whatever it is, and I just need to be focused and I don't want distractions. I won't answer my phone. And Megan Watterson, who wrote the book,
How
to Love Yourself, she said in an interview the other day that she never answers her phone unless she can see it's from her son's school. She doesn't answer phone to anyone, even her best friends. They all leave her voice messages. And she says that's how I create the space that I need in my life to do the work that I want to do and to feel good in myself. I've got a number of friends who either don't have a voicemail or who never listen to it and will say to people, and when they actually say in a message, I do not listen to my voicemails. If you need to get in touch with me, email me or text me. And again, it's about, you know, managing so many things are going to be coming in, phone calls, emails, in, you can see it as a bit of like, it can feel like it's invading your time and it can come and zap your time. So it's likewise at the start of your day, don't necessarily immediately open your inbox or inboxes, which is why I've got multiple. And actually do that maybe at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m.
Yeah.
And start your day with the stuff you really want to dig into before the other distractions come in. So it's really important to kind of look at these little things that you can do that can make a big difference in the way that you structure your day and in your daily habits.
Yeah.
And in the way you manage things like phone calls and emails and WhatsApp. Vicky finally showed me the other day how to mute some of the WhatsApp groups you might have been added to and you don't want to leave because, you know, they're family members. But you can mute it, which was genius. And that has immediately, because I was like, oh, it's filling up my phone screen. You know, it's these things that can actually, tiny things that can just, you know, sort of feel like they're packing into your space and into your time. And there are just tiny little things you can do which can which can help. And that is all about putting boundaries, you know, in practical ways.
Yeah.
Honouring your space and owning your space and you being the one that decides who and what gets to come in and when.
Mm. Yeah. So setting an out of office is a boundary. It's putting a boundary in place. So I emailed somebody yesterday and there was an out of office saying she was writing that day and I really admired that. She was saying, I'm writing today, so I'm not on my emails today. Yeah. I'll pick it up tomorrow. And I really admire that you can just be so honest and out of office and say, you know, this is the reason why I can't reply. So I've been really good with emails recently where I'm mindful of when I go on them, but I haven't yet mastered when to put the out of office on and for what reasons. And I think that's an even braver act when you can say honestly what you're doing and why you can't reply, because you're, you know, in that zone, you're in your writing zone, you're in your creative zone, and it doesn't help to have all those distractions. You need to, you know, limit those distractions. And so that is a great boundary to put in place, saying you're out of office.
And I think that's a great example of you setting a boundary for yourself and communicating that boundary to others so that everyone knows what's going on. Because otherwise you're going to have a boundary that's set down. And, you know, say, for example, you've decided that you don't want to take any calls today, and then, you know, your friend calls up and you pick up the phone, you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Hi. They didn't know. I mean, why did you pick up the phone? They don't know that you're busy. You know, some people like seem exasperated that you bothered them. It's like, wow, you had an option to not pick up. Well, I wonder this sometimes my mum. Or it's me to my mum, perhaps. I don't know. She'll say it's the other way around. But, you know, saying, why didn't... Oh, no. I don't need to get into my mum. Where shall I go from? Yeah, sometimes, you know, you call someone and you can tell they're exasperated that they've had to pick up the phone and answer your call. And it's like, you didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
So they could have put an answer machine message and say, if it's urgent, text me.
Yeah.
And therefore, then they've got a clear boundary. They've given themselves full permission. I think a lot of the time it's about giving yourself permission.
Yeah.
To not have their day interrupted with calls on that day, or maybe every day. But you've also made it clear to everyone else. And I think that's essential, because otherwise... if you've got a boundary, you're not communicating with people and they step over it, you're going to get pissed off. They're going to get hurt. And it's just like, you've got to give everyone a chance to respect the boundaries by telling them where those boundaries are.
Yeah. I think people forget that they have a choice, that you have a choice.
Yeah.
We have so many different inboxes. And yes, we could spend all morning replying to those WhatsApp messages that came in from the night before and then getting onto our emails and then going onto Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all of the other inboxes that we've got. But we have a choice as to when we engage and to how much and to what level, what capacity we engage in those inboxes.
It's immediately made me think of something I can do. I get so many emails that come in from things that I have subscribed to or I've been subscribed to. And for years I have lived with my inboxes being, and I've got three inboxes, being flooded with things that I never read that I immediately delete. But still, how many hours of the day is that taking, or hours of the week, is that taking from me? But why have I been living with that? And I think it's really important to look at the things that are zapping your time and energy.
Yeah.
And that's things like unwanted newsletters, not ours, obviously. Don't want anyone to think I'm going to go and delete Project Love's newsletter right now. Good tip, ladies. But also it's important, you do need to look at the people. A great saying is, you know, people are either drains or radiators.
Yeah.
And so if there are people who really drain your energy and who bring a lot of drama and chaos and always expecting you to drop things, have those conversations with them. If it's a good friend of yours, it's someone you want to keep in your life, have a conversation with them. You know, put a clear boundary of what you can give them, particularly if it's at a time when you've got a lot going on, you don't have as much to give as you normally would, or just full stop. You can't be giving as much to this person as they have been having of you or expecting of you. They then don't respect your needs and don't listen to your needs, and if that happens time and time again, you do, I think there are sometimes people you do have to let go. And a friend of mine once gave me a great analogy of thinking of like boats on a pontoon, and you know, you can, with some people, you just you don't need to cut the rope completely to one of the boats, but you can let it out. Let it further out. So you still got that connection, but maybe you just create a bit of distance gently, a gentle distance.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to cut those ropes. And I've had to do that times in my life where people just haven't, they've not been really respecting me, whether it's my boundaries or just not respecting me full stop. And I have had to, you know, walk away from people. And sometimes I think you do have to do that. And if it's a boss, for example, and if you go and speak to your boss over and over again and say, these are my needs, these, you know, these are my boundaries, and consistently they don't listen to it, you do then have to ask yourself, well, you have a choice. Do you want to keep working for this person?
Yeah.
There are other jobs out there and other much better bosses out there that will listen to your needs. So, you know, you can always do something about it. But sometimes if you've, you know, tried everything and a few times, and likewise relationships. You know, so there are going to be times where you do just have to walk away.
Yeah, I was talking to a client recently about boundaries with an ex-boyfriend, and he is now with someone else, but has started to send her text messages that are, you know, a bit inappropriate, flirtatious text messages. And before it had developed into something more, she actually explained to him, look, this is not cool. It's not okay that you're doing that, and I just want to let you know that, and I don't want you to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And it comes from a place of strength and love and respect that she had for herself. It comes from a place of strength because she was able to, and before she was saying the crucial thing for her was that she came from a place of self-love, and that before she would have just gone there because it was him and he had this such a power over her. But she was able to say to him, look, it's not cool that you're doing that. I don't agree with it. I don't want you to keep texting me this. And he respected that. And that ended it. And so it didn't progress even further and got her, you know, she didn't then get herself into a situation that she didn't want to be in. And so sometimes it is as simple as just saying, look, this is not okay. It's not cool that you're doing that. I'm not down with that. And you can just say it with love and explain why. Let them understand why it's not okay with you that they're acting like that. And maybe they will learn from that experience. Yeah. You hope so anyway.
I think it's a really important one when people are breaking up with someone, even if it's an amicable breakup and you both have hopes that you're going to be friends. This came up the other day, this conversation around, do you cut your ex out of your social media feed? And my stand is 100% every time yes. Because I think it takes time to let someone go fully. And presumably you want to be in another relationship one day, so you need to create the space for that. And sometimes we hold on to that, you know, the intimacy with that, the last person we were with. And, you know, we want to kind of like maintain that in some way. And also perhaps you do just want to be friends with them. But if you don't have a clear boundary, you know, your social media and your Instagram on Facebook, a picture of them could pop up at any minute and kind of tug at your heartstrings and take you a step back from being able to let go of them. And that's another boundary, and it's another conversation, particularly if you do want to maintain a kind of some kind of relationship with them in the long term, to say to them, and I've done this before, I said, look, in the short term, I'm actually going to, don't be horrified, I'm going to unfriend you from Facebook and all the other social media channels just for a bit while I just, you know, I just think we need some space, and then let's come back to this. And, you know, I hope we could both be friends, but I'm doing this for both of us. And I think that's a really important one. I think people get really tangled up in that. But again, it's just about, creating, doing what's best for everyone. And I think whenever you're coming from a place of love and creating a clear boundary for yourself, then that is of the good for everyone.
Mm.
Does that make sense? That is of the good for everyone?
It is.
That is to everyone's benefit.
Yes. Basically, it's a good idea.
Basically, it's a great idea. So just going over the main points of how to create healthy boundaries. Number one is to explore into what the fears are around why you find it hard to say no.
Yeah.
What the reasons might be, the deeper rooted reasons might be why you feel like you need to say yes and you need to be there so much for everyone, why you need to be needed perhaps. Number two, get really clear on your needs. You know, what is it that you need to flourish in life? Number three, communicate. If you're creating new boundaries, communicate those boundaries to the important people, because they need to support you with those boundaries. They need to know where those new boundaries are.
Yeah.
But even once you set those boundaries, it's continuing to communicate. So when people do come and say, can you do this? Are you free? You need to be able to say no. And then what do you do, Vicky?
Sit on your hands. Or hold the stare, as Gail would say. And then number four is your setup. So looking at little practical things that you can do. So using your calendar, using your out of office, not answering your phone, maybe something that you want to try. Looking at very practical ways that you can set your life up to protect you from invasions. And number five, let go. So let go of people that aren't honouring your needs. Let go of things that just aren't working for you anymore. Things that aren't good for you, that aren't supporting you. Things that are polluting your soil. Polluting your soil in which you want to grow and flourish and thrive.
I like that. I think it's a good analogy. An on-the-spot analogy. And do you know what also is letting go of the need to be liked by everyone?
Yeah.
Which I think is often the driver behind it.
Yeah.
And knowing that the only thing you control is your response. And you can communicate with as much love as you possibly can at the end of the day. If people are going to be disappointed and are not going to understand that you're looking after your needs, then that is their problem and not yours.
Yeah.
And I think above all is remembering that when you start to listen to your own needs and honour your needs and start respecting those and really standing up for your needs, you are creating a space for the other people in your life to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a huge act of love for yourself and also for them.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast show. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're feeling stuck in your own career and would love some help on figuring out what to do and how to make it happen, then head on over to Coaching and Courses on loveprojectlove.com.